जी भगवान की शिष्य गौर निताई जय नंद बल्दे सुधर माई की जय ताई को प्रेमानंदी
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंदा जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंदा
चैतन्य चरितामृत मध्य लीला चैप्टर 16 द लॉर्ड्स अटेम्प्ट टू गो टू वृंदावन टेक्स्ट 36
साक्षी गोपालेर कथा कहे नित्यानंद सुनिया वैष्णव मने बाड़िला आनंद
When Nityananda Prabhu described all the activities of Sakshi Gopal, transcendental bliss increased in the minds of all the Vaishnavas. Purport, for these activities, refer to Madhya Leela, chapter 5, verse 8 through 138. So have you heard the story of Sakshi Gopal?
Yeah,
you have?
The, heard the story of Sakshi Gopal? Oh, it's a wonderful story. There were two Brahmins living in South India. One was old and one was young, and they went for a pilgrimage. And walking, they came all the way to Vrindavan. And the young boy, he served the old Brahmin very nicely throughout the pilgrimage. Old Brahmin, he became so grateful to the younger boy. He said, "I am very thankful to you because you have taken nice care of me throughout all this journey. I didn't feel a little inconvenience. So as a matter of appreciation, as a token of appreciation, I am going to marry my daughter to you." The young Brahmin said, "No, sir, it's not possible. You are very scholarly person, very rich person. I don't think your family members will agree to this." So old Brahmin said, No, she's my daughter, she's my property, and I think you're the right candidate, so I'll marry her off to you." The young Brahmin, they were in the temple of Gopal. The young Brahmin said, "Well, if you really want to, then you say that in front of Gopal, deity." So old Brahmin said, "Yes, I am saying in front of the Gopal deity." And the young Brahmin told the deity that if something happens, you have to come as a witness. So after they came back from the pilgrimage, so many days have passed by. And then after a while, the old Brahmin thought that I have to fulfill my promise. So he told his family members, "This is what I had promised to this young boy. And now the time has come. I fulfill my promise." But the family members said that this is not right. They started crying. They said, "If you marry our daughter to him, we're going to commit suicide. We're going to kill ourselves." So the Brahmin's son, he told his father that if you do this, this is very unfair, because that boy is not good, he's not from a good family, he's a poor boy. You cannot marry a beautiful daughter to him. So father was like, "Now what to do? He's a Brahmin, whatever he has said, it has to be followed." But his family members, they were creating problems. So he prayed to the Lord, "Please help me." So the son said, "Okay, father, you do one thing, you don't tell a lie, but when he asks you, you just say, 'I don't remember.'" So after a few days, this young boy, he came, he asked the old Brahmin that, "You had promised me, although I don't care for the marriage, but just to save you from telling a lie, I want you to marry your daughter to me." But then the old Brahmin's son came out and started chastising the young boy that, "Why you're doing all this to my father? You cheated him, and now you're claiming that he promised you to marry his daughter." So this whole argument went to the village seniors. So they called for a meeting. They listened to the both sides of the story and they said, "We cannot decide who's right, who's wrong." So when they asked, "Was there a witness to the whole promise, to the whole story?" Young Brahmin said, "Yes, the Gopal deity, he was there, he was a witness." So they said, "Well, if you have the witness, if you have to bring the witness here and testify, then we'll believe whatever you said is right." Young Brahmin said, "Okay." So he walked all the way from South India to Vrindavan again. And he went to the temple of Gopal. He told Gopal, "You are the witness to everything that happened. So you just come with me and bear witness." Gopal said, "Yes, I heard whatever happened. And I know that Brahmin promised his daughter to you. So you bring all the village people here. Gopal said, no, witness has to go to the court. They don't come here. The Gopal said, have you heard of any deity walking? I'm a deity, I'm a murti. I don't walk from one place to another. I stay in one place. The young Brahman said, you eat. Whenever we offer you bhoga, you eat. And now you're talking. If you can eat, if you can talk, you can walk. What's the problem? So Gopal said, okay, I'll walk. But he said, there's a condition. You go further, I'll walk behind you. And every day you have to feed me 1 kilo of rice, cook 1 kilo of rice and feed me. And I'll come behind you but wherever you turn around and try to see me, I'll just stand there and I'll not move. The young Brahman said, but how would I know you're coming behind me? He said, oh, you'll hear my ankle bells tinkling. Okay, that's the deal. So young Brahman started walking towards his native place in South India. And he was hearing the tinkling of ankle bells of Gopal deity. And every day he would feed him 1 kilo of rice, cook 1 kilo of rice and feed him. But he would not turn around to see. So when they came to the outskirts of his village, Vidyanagar, there was no sound of ankle bells. So the young Brahman turned around and he saw the deity was there, Gopal. So the young Brahman then went inside the village and he called all the village people, see, Gopal deity has come himself to bear the witness, to testify that I was telling the truth. So all the villagers came and they came outside and they saw this beautiful deity of Gopal standing there. It was not there before. And Gopal spoke that this Brahman is telling the truth. The older Brahman had promised his daughter to this Brahman for him to marry. So you all should arrange for the marriage. And old Brahman, under the influence of his family, he was just backing off, but this marriage should happen. So then the villagers made a small temple, but the king of that place, when he heard this story and he came to take darshan of Gopal, then Gopal, now the new name for Gopal was Sakshi Gopal, he came to bear the witness. So he made a beautiful temple for him. But this Sakshi Gopal deity, many years later, there was a king in Jagannath Puri. So he had come to Vidyanagar to marry the daughter of the king. So everything was finalized, both the kings, nice daughter, everything was finalized. So the king from Puri, when he went back, so this king from Vidyanagar, he sent his minister, why don't you go and check out his kingdom, what kind of king he is. So the minister went, he checked out. But that was the day of Jagannath Rath Yatra, huge festival. So then he saw this king of Puri, Purushottam Dev, he was sweeping in front of Lord Jagannath, sweeping the road. It's a tradition there, so he was sweeping. But the minister said, he's a sweeper. We cannot marry our daughter, marry a princess to this sweeper. What kind of king he is? So he went back and told the king of Vidyanagar that don't marry your daughter to this man. So king of Vidyanagar sent a message, we cannot marry our daughter to a sweeper. So King Purushottam Dev, he got very upset. I was sweeping in front of Lord Jagannath. That's an honor to sweep in front of Jagannath. So he has insulted me, we have to take revenge. And he has insulted Lord Jagannath, in fact. We have to take revenge. So King Purushottam Dev took his army and went to fight with this king of Vidyanagar. But the king of Vidyanagar was more strong, more powerful. His army was stronger. So they defeated King Purushottam. They killed many of his soldiers. Somehow King Purushottam Dev came back, saved his life, came back. He went to the temple of Lord Jagannath. Jagannath, what is this happened? How come I was defeated? Jagannath said, did you take my permission to go for the fight? King said, no, I didn't take your permission. It was to save your honor, and I was so disturbed. Jagannath said, okay, now you assemble your army again and go again. I'll help. So King Purushottam there, he again assembled his army, and whatever little army was there, and they started again for Vidyanagar. On the way there was a village, and an old lady came from the village. She stopped the king. Two of your soldiers went by and they drank all my buttermilk, and they said, king is coming behind us and he will pay you. We don't have the money. King said, two of my soldiers, I have very little army with me. What two soldiers? Nobody went for it. No, old ladies, I am not lying. They were very strong, very beautiful soldiers. And they said, you will pay. King said, and the old lady said, oh, they gave me this ring to show you that they are your soldiers. King said, okay, show me the ring. And when she showed the ring, it was the ring of Lord Jagannath. So king was astonished. He asked her, what did these soldiers look like? She said, oh, they were beautiful soldiers. One was black in color, and he was sitting on a white horse. And one was white in color, and he was sitting on a black horse. They were very strong, and they drank all my buttermilk. They didn't pay. Kings understood it was Krishna and Balaram, Jagannathji and Baldevji. They themselves had come. So he said, okay, the whole village now belongs to you. He gave her the whole village. And when he was going further, the news came that the king of Vidyanagar was defeated, his army was defeated, and he has accepted defeat because these two soldiers came and defeated the whole army. So King Purushottam, they went to that village, and since he was the king, so he, to avenge the insult, he took this princess. He said, we're going to take this princess back to her kingdom. And in the process, he took many deities from that kingdom. And one deity was this Sakshi Gopal. He said, I like this deity, they should be installed in my kingdom. Another deity was Radha Kanta. There was another deity of Lord Ganesha. So he brought everything back and lots of jewelry, everything. So he first installed this deity of Sakshi Gopal in Katak. So this is where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was going from Navdeep to Jagannath Puri, this is where he saw the deity in Katak. Later on, the Sakshi Gopal deity was moved to another place between Bhuvaneshwar and Jagannath Puri, to a village. And that village, now it's called Sakshi Gopal village. So the deity, it's not stone, it's not wood, it's not metal. He's a deity, he's the Lord himself. It's not a raisin, Prabhupada is there. So from this story we can understand the deity, he respects, he responds to his devotee's prayers, devotee's wishes, whatever the devotee says. So we have to be very careful when we come in front of deity. And whatever we say, just like here, Radha Kala Chanji. I mean, earlier, I don't know, I haven't read it, but there was a pamphlet outside saying the story of Kala Chanji, how he came to the dreams of Srila Prabhupada. That I have been used by this sculptor in Jaipur as his door stopper. Please take me to West and install me, right? Something like that. So he is the Supreme Lord himself standing here. He is not a murti. He is a deity. Deity is not different from Krishna himself. It is said in Bhagavatam, anybody who thinks, Bhagavatam or Padma Puran, anybody who thinks this deity is stone and the guru is an ordinary person, it's a hellish mentality. He'll go to hell. So the deity responds. Deity can reciprocate with the devotee. Krishna says, ye yatha mam prapadyante tanstatya. The way we approach him, the way we serve him, he rewards accordingly. So this young Brahman, he had faith in Gopal. He'll bear witness. And Gopal came. This is a story of Sakshi Gopal. And the way he spoke with Gopal, and Gopal responded to his prayers, to his talk, because he had that innocent faith, full of love and devotion. And there are many, many other stories. Deities have responded. Deity is not different from Krishna. But we just have to develop this faith, this love. And they are ready to reciprocate. Like there's a beautiful story of Raghunandan. He's a little boy in Navadvip. And his father, Mukunda, he had a deity at home, and he used to serve him with lots of devotion, Gopinath. And Mukunda had to go to some other village, and he asked, okay, Raghunandan, you take care of doing the offering today. He said, okay, how do we do the offering? Oh, nothing, you just bring all the offering, whatever your mom prepares, put the bhoga in front of deity in a plate, and ask him to eat, and then you remove the plate, and that's it. Okay, sounds simple. So Mukunda went, and Raghunandan did this, and he asked the deity to eat. There's no action. Raghunandan got upset. What is it? If my father comes back and he sees you haven't eaten, he'll chastise me. You eat. And no action. He started crying. He picked up a stick. You eat, otherwise I'll beat you up. And the deity appeared and he ate everything from the plate. The boy got happy and took the plate, gave it to mother. Mother said, where's the prasadam? Oh, he ate everything. And he went off to play. Mukund came back. And he asked, give me some prasadam. Mother said, there's no prasadam. Wife said, there's no prasadam. What happened? Raghunandan said, deity ate everything. Mukunda was surprised. He said, what is this happening? Boy is not naughty. He doesn't lie. But there's nothing to eat. So he asked his boy, what happened? Oh, just like you told me, I asked deity to eat. He ate. Okay. Why don't you offer it again? Offer something again. Offer this laddu. Okay, he put it in a plate, he took the laddu to the deity, eat. He didn't eat. Okay, he picked up the stick, eat. He started eating. And that time Mukunda was watching, he was hiding behind a curtain, and when he saw eating, he came out and he paid obeisance, he was crying. And that time Gopinath stopped eating, so he still had that half-eaten laddu. There's a beautiful deity in Navadvip. I'm forgetting which village it is. So he still have in his hand this half-eaten laddu. Hare Krishna. Please. So he is the Supreme Lord himself. He can and he does respond to our prayers. Depends how much love we have. If there is no love, he'll act as a stone. If we have a stone-like heart, he'll act as a stone. If we have love, he'll respond. Just like Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Australia, Melbourne, I believe. So the deities went to Radha Gopinath. And when he was leaving, he prayed to the deity that, my disciples here, they don't know anything. So this is my prayer to you. Please accept them. Accept whatever service they're doing. Please stay here and accept their service. And the deities are still there. They're still accepting the service, still giving the benedictions. Just like we know the story of Lord Narsingdev in Mayapur, how he came, and when he was ready to come, the Murtiwala called the devotees, please take him away, he's ready to go, he has burned down everything, he has burned all the shed and everything where he was sitting. And in fact they said, Radha Madhav in Mayapur, They also very special, because what I read was sculptor didn't make the tilak or the sacred thread. It appeared on its own. They appeared on its own, on Radha Madhav deity. Or the deity of Houston, Radha Neela Madhav. When they were being made, Tamalkesh Maharaj told that story. When the deities were being carved in Jaipur, just like Shrimati Radharani here, her right hand is like this, and Radharani Vrindavan, her hand is like this. So she came to the dreams of Tamalkesh Maharaj, and she said, no, not like this. I want to be like this in Houston. So he called right away Jaipur. The sculptor said, we have already carved the hand, but so her hand is not like this and it's not like this, it's in between. They said, we can only do this much. We cannot change fully. So they respond, deities respond to our devotion, to our purity. Prabhupada, of course, it's nowhere in the scriptures I've heard these names, but when he installed deity in London and Paris, he called them London Ishwara and Paris Ishwara. Nowhere in the scriptures we read these kind of names to be given to deities. But this is what he named, and what he actually meant, these are the deities, they are the lord of this place. Radha Kalachandri is the lord of Dallas, city of Dallas, nobody else. So we have to treat them accordingly. We have to behave accordingly. It's our problem is we don't have faith. So when we come to the temple, we don't think the deities are there, the Lord is there. That's where we commit all kinds of activities we shouldn't be. There are so many stories of deities reciprocating with devotees. Just like Sanatan Chaitanya, he had the deity of Madan Gopal, later on became Madan Mohan. Sanatan Goswami, he used to travel, he used to beg, do madhukari, he had nothing to eat, hardly anything to eat. And he would keep this deity, and wonderful story how he found this deity. And he would keep this deity in his bag, hanging around his neck, and feed him just some dry chapati, dry roti. And one day Madan Mohan appeared to him. It's very dry, at least put some salt on it. Sanatan Goswami said, what is it? Today you're asking for salt, tomorrow you'll say, give me some ghee with it, then you'll say, give me some sabji with it. I'm not in a position to do all this. Hare Krishna. Why don't you join the class in another 10 minutes and then he can answer everything. So Sanatan Goswami told, I am not in a position to get you all this. I have left everything. So if you want salt for yourself, I arrange for yourself. Okay. So same day, Sanatan Goswami was living next to Yamunaji. So a boat came and it got stuck on a sand dune in Yamunaji. And the owner of the boat, he came and he saw one Baba sitting on the banks. He came out of the boat, went to the Babaji. "Oh Babaji, my boat is stuck, please help me. I'll give you lots of donation." Sanatana Goswami said, "It's all Madan Mohanji is doing everything, you just go ask him. He'll do whatever he wants to do." So he petitioned to Madan Mohanji, "If my boat is released, I'll make a nice temple for you." So same night there was a big storm and lots of water came and his boat got freed from the sand dunes. And this businessman went off to Agra and he was carrying salt. He was a merchant of salt. And he made lots of profit. And he came back and he knew his promise. So whatever we promise in front of deity, we should keep it. And he made a huge temple. And the temple is there, right in one of the pictures here. Radha Madan Mohanji. And this businessman, his name was Krishnadas Kapoor. So normally it is like we also have this plaque honoring all the donors, whatever little money they give. So Sanatana Goswami asked this donor, "Okay, you have made such a big temple, so we should honor you. I should put your murti name somewhere." And donor said, no, it was Krishna's money. He took it. I'm not the donor." Sanatana Goswami still said, no, I have to offer you something. So he said, "Okay, if you want to do, still do." So wherever, when they bathe the deities and the water from the bathing comes, Charnamrit, it goes in a passage. And wherever it falls down, so you put my murti, little murti over there. So every day I get bathed. And nobody should know that my murti is there. So that little murti is still there. So every day he gets bathed by the Charnamrita of Madan Mohanji. But the deities do respond. Just like Jagannathji responded to Purushottam Dev's plea. But King Purushottam Dev, first when he brought Sakshi Gopal, he brought him to Lord Jagannath's temple. Radha Radha Kanta, Sakshi Gopal and Ganeshji. So once Jagannathji came to the dream of Pujaris, he said, "Who are these?" Pujari said, "What do you mean, who are these? Sakshi Gopal, Radha Kanta, Ganeshji?" They said, no, it's not allowed here, take them out of here. I don't want them here. So that's when they moved Sakshi Gopalji to Katak, Radhakanta to Gambhira, and Ganeshji in the same complex but outside Jagannath's temple. Jagannath said, I don't like them here. It's my temple. Jagannathji is different. Just like in our Simandweep temple in Navdweep, we have Jagannath deity, Rajajipur. Again, long story. Somehow the temple came to ISKCON's custody. But there was no kitchen facility at that time, many years ago. So Bhoga used to go from ISKCON Mayapur for the deities. So Pujari would take Bhoga on his cycle and bring it to Jagannath temple, offer it to Lord Jagannath, and then he would wait outside. So once he did the same thing, and when he opened the door, Jagannath Baldeswara, they were missing. He said, what is this going on? Where did they go? And he said, "If authorities in ISKCON temple find out, they'll kill me. What happened to the deity? How can they go away in the closed door?" And then he looked around frantically, he was searching, and he saw the deities were in the field. And he ran after them. "Where are you going? What is this happening? Where are you going?" Jagannath ji turned around, he said, "You don't feed us enough, we are going to ISKCON Mayapur. They'll feed us properly, you don't bring us whole bhoga." He begged, he prayed to them, "Okay, from tomorrow, I made a mistake, from tomorrow I'll bring the whole bhoga, maybe I didn't bring enough for you. Please come back." So they came back and then Jayapataka Maharaj made arrangement, the kitchen should be made over there only. And once the pujari in that temple, he brought a Govardhan Chela. So they installed Govardhan Chela next to Lord Jagannath. And when pujari was doing the offering, he did the offering, rang the bell and everything. So they made one plate and did the offering. At night, Jagannath came to his dream. He said, "Who is this you have brought?" I said, "What do you mean, who's this?" Govardhan, Giriraj. He eats a lot. And he starts eating before your mantras are finished. We wait till your mantras are finished. And he starts eating before that. So I am not getting my full meal. So we make separate plate for him. Giriraj, he eats uncooked, na? He like Jagannath eats only chappan bhog. Giriraj eats uncooked. He eats the whole mountain of bhoga. So since that day, they make separate plate for Giriraj. So deities, they respond. They're non-different from the Lord. It's not a matter of our faith. Whether our faith is there or not, doesn't matter. Deity is deity. They are Bhagwan Himself. It just, depending upon our love, they'll respond. They'll reciprocate. And they feel, they see everything, they feel everything. And they know everything. They control everything. Just like you have come today, you live in Dallas? Fort Worth. You come here for the first time? Okay. Nepal is also in his jurisdiction. It's not out of his jurisdiction. So Kalachanji had somehow inspired you to come today. We don't come on our own. We come because of His mercy, His blessings, His inspiration. So this is how we should look at. It's His mercy He has called us. So that's why when we come to the temple and we see, we take darshan. Actually, we don't take darshan. They see who has come and who hasn't come. When we come, anytime we come for darshan, means they have to see. We put our attendance, okay, I came. And they know. Just like there was Surdas was blind. So there was another devotee in Vrindavan. He was also blind. But he would go every day to the temple of Banke Bihariji. And this, some Brajvasi boys, one day they were making fun of him. "Why do you come? I mean, you are blind. You cannot even take darshan." So he said, "I don't come to take darshan. I come to put my attendance." So he takes my darshan. He has come. My devotee has come. But they still challenged him. They said, "Okay, if you have so much faith and you cannot see him, but you say they put the attendance, they mark your attendance, but they must be giving you darshan then. So tell us what color dress they are wearing." And that devotee told exactly what color dress deity was wearing. Although he was blind, he couldn't see anything. So deities, if they want to give us darshan, they can give us darshan in the heart. That's not a problem for them. So boys were astonished. They said, "Okay, come tomorrow, we'll test you again. We want to make sure. Maybe somebody told you." He said, "Okay." So he came again next day. "Okay, what color?" He told exactly what color dress he was wearing. So one day, the boys, they told the pujari, okay, today you just put on one langot and nothing else on the deity. We'll test. So they again asked this blind person, what dress? He said, oh, today my Lord is in a special darshan, he's not wearing anything. So they understood. This is special relationship between Bhakt and Bhagwan, devotee and the Lord. There's another temple in Vrindavan, Krishna Balaram temple, not ISKCON, it's an old Krishna Balaram temple. So they had few pujaris, and one boy was there to serve, and he was doing lots of service. It was very hot in Vrindavan, so he was fanning the deities. And somehow, maybe he was getting sleepy, because it was so hot, or maybe he was tired. So somehow, when he was fanning, the fan touched Balaramji. Balaramji got angry and he slapped the boy. What does it do the service properly? Pujaris, they have special relationship with their deities. So boy, he threw the fan, I'm not going to serve you. Why did you slap me? I'm going away. And the problem was that boy was also the cook, only cook. I'm not going to cook for you. I'm not going to fan you. Why did you slap me? It wasn't that big a mistake. So he went on a strike. So all the senior devotees came, all the management came. They petitioned to him, okay, do the service. No, he's hitting me. Why should I serve him? So they all went to Balaramji. They prayed to him. Please, he is the only cook and he is the only pujari who can serve you. Don't slap him. Just forgive him. Then Balaramji said, okay, forgive him. I will not slap him. Go tell him to go and cook. That's very special relationship. But the essence is, yes, Bhagwan, he does respond. He is not stone. He is not rock. If he wants to move, he can move. If he wants to eat, he can eat. He wants to talk, he can talk. And show us. He does everything, but to show us that he is there. So Krishna appears in this deity form. Because our eyes are material. So he takes the form in one of the material things that we can have the opportunity to serve. Otherwise, if Krishna himself is here, he is all spiritual. We cannot serve him. How are we going to see him? So he comes in this form. This is very merciful form of the deity. So we can reciprocate. We can serve him. We can get purified. We can develop this love, this bhav for him. So this is, obviously, in deity worship, there is so many things we have to be careful of. But the ultimate thing is, he has given us this opportunity to serve him by coming in this form. We can dress him, we can cook for him, we can make garlands for him, we can clean his temple, we can do unlimited number of things to serve him. So we should take this opportunity of golden opportunity that Krishna has given, that Prabhupada has given us. Yes, made us qualified. We are not qualified, but he has made us qualified to go and serve him, to touch the deity, to touch Lord himself. We are not qualified, but it's his mercy. So we should take this opportunity to our fullest use and develop love for him by serving. Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much. Any questions or comments?
Thank you. Thank you, Prem. It's like ice cream. So few thoughts, few questions. don't know where to start. You know, when we take darshan of the deities, if we can also enlighten on how the darshan should be taken, and what is the, you know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam or practically anywhere, we see that when Vishnu appears, he almost chastises when any prayers are offered with a material motive. He almost says, you're a fool. And Lord Chaitanya also is saying, when someone, a devotee, comes to me for any personal, material, why should I give that benediction to me, him? I will give him the shelter of my lotus feet. He does not know, but I will do that. So what is the overall mood in which we should approach, which our prayers should be, so that we get the right, at least at our level, when we're still seeing stone, what should we be praying, which would be in line with what a true benefit is, if I may.
How we should take darshan? It says in Nectar of Devotion, we should start from the lotus feet and slowly, slowly go up towards the lotus face. But our position right now, when we are in sadhan, Vedi sadhan bhakti, is pretty much at the lotus feet. Of course, we go to the face, we can meditate upon that face when we are doing our Vedi bhakti properly. But the mood, Bhagavatam says, akama sarva kama va moksha kama dharti. Tivrin bhakti yogena yajeta purushambaram. Even if somebody has all the material desires, or desire for liberation, or no desires at all, one should still serve the Lord. Of course, our ultimate aim is not that material desires be fulfilled. But even if somebody has all the material desires, if he serves him, so Krishna's another name is Hari, so he takes away all his material desires and gives him devotional service. Nectar of Devotion also says that Paribhashik Sutra of Nectar of Devotion, Anya Vilashita Shunyam. So Anya, it says Anya Abhilashita, not Anya Abhilasha Shunyam. I mean, it doesn't say no material desires, no other desire. It says the desireness should not be there. Means the main motive is to serve the deity, to serve the Lord. Coming and going, a few material desires here or there, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't take us away from the realm of pure devotional service. And the example is given of Draupadi. When she cried, she petitioned the Lord, please save my chastity, save me from getting disrobed. So from material point of view, this was a material desire. It had nothing to do with serving the Lord. But it still doesn't take her away from the realm of pure devotional service. She is still considered a pure devotee of the Lord. So a fleeting material desire doesn't make anybody a non-devotee or not a pure devotee. The ultimate aim, ultimate motive is to serve the Lord. Dhruv Maharaj, he was asking for a kingdom bigger than the Lord Brahma, better than Lord Brahma. That was material desire. But when he saw the Lord himself, he forgot, you know, I was asking for broken pieces of glass. Now I got the rare diamond. I don't need those. But the Lord says, no, you had the desires when you started your austerities. So I'll give you those. I'll fulfill those. But take away the desire to enjoy. But in the end of life, you'll come back to me. Udhav Maharaj is considered a pure devotee. He's one of the Mahajans. So fleeting material desires, it's not a big deal. One should not be guilty. Of course, that should not be the aim of life. And he himself is going to make sure that we stick to the aim of life. Obviously. So our desire at the end of the day should be, please engage me in your service. Somehow, please engage me in your service. That's all. Any questions or comments? Or we shall stop here? Grantha Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Nitai Gaura Premanandi.